Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station. Available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday afternoon, July 1st, 2010. It is now about 4:01 p.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our program this afternoon. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. Of course, you can send us email at any time to comments@libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, Sutton-Associates.net, Sutton, Sutton-Associates.net. In his biweekly newsletter, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You can also listen to Andy's commentary on ContraryInvestorsCafe.com. Lastly, I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Liberty Talk Radio. We are pleased this afternoon to have with us Miss Tisha Casita, and I hope I'm pronouncing that last name correctly, as our guest. Tisha is a press publisher and editor of the Good American Post, a nonpartisan paper intended to educate the reader and win people over to the tenets of liberty, free markets, and true sustainability. Please join us by calling 646-652-4620. She's on the line now. Let's get her on, and let's get the show going. Good afternoon. Is this Tisha?
It is, Joe. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. I heard you laughing. What were you laughing at?
I was chuckling. I was wondering about the last name.
I'm sorry. I just realized yeah, I didn't know how to pronounce it at the very last minute. I said I should have found out how to do that before. May I ask for the proper pronunciation of your last name, please?
Yeah, it's Casada. So it's just pretend like there's two S's in there. That's what I usually tell people to do.
Okay. So, and I humbly apologize. I did not mean that.
No, that's okay. I was waiting. I was thinking, wait a second. I didn't tell them how to say this.
Well, thank you so much being part of our program this afternoon. And folks, listen, we know you're out there. We know you're listening. And you do have our telephone number, 646-652-4620. This is Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and we're going to have a lively discussion about the editor of the Good American Post. Now, Tisha, why don't you tell us, what is the Good American Post all about? Why did you start it? What is it doing? Give us a break and tell us something about yourself as well. We'll give you the first couple of minutes as just being a general intro.
Sure. Well, I'll kind of start from the beginning. That might help indicate where we're at now. I went to school at the University of Colorado at Colorado Springs, and my undergraduate degrees are in business, specifically marketing, as well as political science. During my tenure as an undergraduate student, I actually got very ill and started doing some research on my own about the environment and health and wellness and things that were going into not only our food supply, but our environment at large.
Right.
I grew up on a small farm out in it's called the county, Pueblo County, and I believe that I had gotten so sick because of the pesticides that I was exposed to as a child.
Okay.
So, long story short, once I got to college and started getting sick, I researched some of the things that I could have been exposed to, changed my diet, started doing things that would improve my health. This was the same time that, you know, in the actual business school as well as political science school, I had the ability to research some of the companies and what they're doing, as well as the whole profit motive model, and research environmental legislation and things having to do on the political science or legislative end. So I had put all of these pieces together. By the time I graduated, I moved back to my hometown to be close to my family, and that's when I started a marketing company. And our main product that I started 5 years ago is a magazine called That's Natural. The whole point of this publication when I started it was to educate people about health and wellness, about the environment, things that we can do, as well as the importance of supporting small businesses. I've seen from the get-go, even as a child, the importance of trying to support local communities, because those are the people that you're so dependent upon. And my my big issue personally is our food supply, and I like to see people supporting local agriculture and local farmers as much as they can.
Yeah.
So I've been doing this publication called That's Natural for about 4 years. Last year, I really felt a compulsion to add in something and do something more to educate our communities and country at large about liberty. Liberty and free markets, because I believe that those are the saving grace of our country, is the ability to be free and the ability to be consumers in a free market economy where we have access to information and it's people deciding supply and demand, not centrally controlled by a central planner or a central government, but people making these buying and selling decisions.
Okay, Tisha, just
so
one second. Tisha,
sure.
How did you make that, how did you cross that chasm from health food, buying local, and I appreciate that, you know, to the free market system? How did you gap that? What was the inspiration or what? I mean, I can sort of see it, but it's so vague, I couldn't articulate it. Could you help me with that?
Sure, absolutely. It's because I am a small business owner, and I have been drastically affected by the economy myself since 2008. I had also gotten my real estate license a couple years ago, and I've been watching the trends, and I've been watching people's purchasing decisions. I've been watching legislation that's going through, and all of these are affecting my market. So they affect my consumers who read,
right,
and they affect my small businesses,
okay,
who do marketing.
Very good.
So I had a pretty good idea with my political science background about some of this, but just, you know, Joe, in the past 2 years, I've just really seen the impact on the small business owner, because that's me.
Well, you sound like the type of person that takes the bull by the horns. You're not going to go running and hide somewhere.
Exactly. Yes, we're going to do something about it.
Boy, are you a blessing and a breath of fresh air in this economy. I'll tell you that. I have more friends who complain about things, who want to do something, and do absolutely nothing. But please continue. So I'm enjoying hearing this. This is great. Go ahead. Please go on.
Sure. Well, I appreciate the interjection, because a lot of my clients, I think, are not able to see the connection between the two, and I bring them in together all the time. It's sustainability on one end, and on the other side is profitability. But as I tell people, the only way to be sustainable is if you're making money. There's no sustainable enterprise. There's no sustainable legislation. There's nothing sustainable about anything, whether it's a company or some type of motive to change the world, unless it's making money.
You get on the government dole and get a piece of the TARP program, then you'll be set for life. But that's another story, isn't it?
Boy, yeah, don't get me started on that show. That's probably the negative side.
Of course, yeah, I'm only joking. You know that.
Yeah, I do. So yeah, but we try and focus on the positive and things that we can do, and so be actionable, because like you say, there's plenty of people complaining about what's wrong, There's plenty of people throwing stones. There's plenty of people that are just being angry. And at the end of the day, none of that is forming a solution.
Right.
If everybody who complained about what's going on got off their keister and did one little thing, whether
right.
it's going and trying to find a local farmer, going and trying to actually speak to a local or state or national representative, going and, you know, printing something, or going creating a
right.
blog, going and talking to family and friends
right.
about something actionable and something positive that we can do. If everybody did that, we would be seeing more momentous changes towards, you know, fixing a broken system.
Yes.
And it's not that, you know, some critics will say, well, capitalism got us here, and that there's, you can say that and think that way, but at the end of the day, it's, in my opinion, from the research that I've done and from what I've seen, it's a lot of intrusion by the heavy hand of government
right.
that has caused our problems
absolutely.
In our
absolutely.
Free market
right.
economy.
And in fact, if I may be so brazen as to slightly alter what you've just said, it really, when they complain about capitalism, they're really referencing the wrong thing. What they think they're referencing is the free marketplace, but they won't use those words because those words are counterproductive to their argument, because no one in their right,
right.
mind would be anachronistic towards a free market. But you surely can get, you know, hot about capitalism, because in there there's things like we throw in greed and those words like that, which no one could really define. But once they say free market system, everyone says, wait a minute, no, the free market system is a good thing. Even people who are ignorant enough to believe what the government is saying. But you'll never hear them say the free market system, because capitalism is a design or a term that was initiated by Karl Marx himself and is needed as much in communism as it is in a free marketplace. So I think we misplaced that word, and government loves to use the word capitalism to prove their point. I'm sorry for interrupting you. I had to bring that up. Go
no.
ahead.
No. I think that, no, it's an excellent, excellent point. And I on that note, you know, I've dealt with people on both ends of the spectrum. And you're exactly right. If you use that specific word, capitalism, our wonderful media has done a fabulous job of portraying that as something evil,
absolutely.
Greedy, these fat cats who are manipulating the
right.
system. And they've given it a really bad connotation, and so
correct.
You're exactly right. Whereas the free word, the free market,
right.
people say, oh, yeah, of course I want to have access to 2,000 different brands of cereal.
Right.
You know, that's my right as an American.
Right.
They like that. Well, that's the free market,
that's
and
right.
it's capitalism, but capitalism's gotten a bad ring. So.
Right. You know, it's such an interesting conversation, because it is so what we're discussing now, it is so incredibly basic, you know, to the very foundation of the economic system of the United States as it should be. And here we are discussing it. You know, you think we would be discussing some higher form of economic theory that is questionable. We're talking about, this is not even economy 101. This is economy Dick and Jane. And yet, our government
right.
has done a great
right.
job of screwing it up. It is absolutely amazing. I love having these conversations. Anyway, but please,
yeah.
Go on. I am enthralled with what you're saying.
Well, thank you. On that note, like with how simple it is, looking back, I wish I would have spent my money in my education on economics, because it fascinates me. But what is so fascinating about it is that, you know, unfortunately, so many Americans and so many consumers are scared of some of the numbers and scared of some of the things that are thrown out. When you look at it, though, and there's two things that I've been referencing through a lot of work that I've done. One is Thomas Sowell's book, Basic Economics.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is iPencil by Leonard E. Reed, I believe. And the iPencil is a very short essay, which is a wonderful expose on what the free market is and how amazing and miraculous it is that it works.
I used to demonstrate that school. I used to demonstrate that when I used to teach project business, iPencil. In fact, I just read that story over again about a month ago. I read through the entire thing all over again. It was deja vu all over again for me. But it's a fascinating dialogue of the intricacies and the interrelationships of people dispersed all over the world making a pencil with no one overseeing anything. And it happens. Anyway.
Exactly.
It absolutely happens, right.
And it's true.
It is. I see pencils in the store all the time. It is absolutely. Yep. Yeah. We don't do that anyway. Government schools don't like that because it disproves it. You know, in schools these days, even in college economics 101, there is no formula in any of the books that say this is what happens to the economy if you do this, if you do that. And nowhere does it say with 10% government intervention, this is the result. With 22% of government, it's silent on that regard. Now, these bozos get out of school, go into government, and say, well, the economy cannot work on its own. It can work properly, provided we have the right amount, just the proper mix of government intervention into the free market to make it work properly and fairly for everyone. And no one has ever been able to define that. And yet, that is the root cause of every problem we have today. But Ken, I'm taking it away from you. I don't mean to do that. I will get on my high horse and go for 4 hours. Please continue, Tris.
No, it's great. I mean, you're saying things that, I mean, I would say, anyways, that's exactly right. There's, unfortunately, you know, and I say this over and over again to people, I say, well, you can't just have a free market. You have to have somebody, you know, intervening or do something. And I think none of us really know, because I don't know if we'll ever be able to go 100% back, but of course there's a place for government. That's what our founding fathers had drafted up in the first place. It's ruled by the Constitution of the United States of America, but the rule is that they protect people's individual liberties.
Absolutely.
They do not intervene into economic decisions. And, I mean, we can,
absolutely,
like you said, all of our problems can be traced and proven. It's been researched that they stem from the intervention, like the agriculture subsidies.
Right.
Any type of subsidy.
Right.
It's causing people to view something as cheaper, which causes them to buy more. And then, as you know, there's all of these negative repercussions because the price isn't real.
Right.
Because the government has intervened in it.
Yeah.
And it all goes back to that.
The response you get, you say, I love this comment when they say, but you could you just imagine if there wasn't government regulation? You could imagine, just imagine what would happen. I say, yes, I can imagine what could happen. Everything would operate beautifully, you know? And they say, but they can't even imagine. I said, the reason why you can't imagine is because it doesn't exist. Oh, jeez. It is. By the way, we are late on our station identification. Folks, you're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. We are so pleased today to have Tisha Cassada. Did I say that correctly?
You got it.
Ah,
yep,
Tisha Cassada. Yeah, she's the editor and publisher of the Good American Post, and we're having a lively discussion, which we'd love for you to join in on. 646-652-4620. Please, people call or they write and they say, the reason why I didn't call in is I didn't want to interrupt. Please, do me a favor and interrupt. I don't care what your mother says or what she taught you to do. I want you to interrupt. Disobey your mother today. 646-652-4620. Of course, you can send me emails at any time and you can say anything you'd like to comments@libertytalkradio.com. And Tish, before I forget, because I usually forget this, before we hang up, I want to ask you if you would just send me a quick email with a mailing address. I would love to send you, and a t-shirt size, I would love to send you a Liberty Talk Radio t-shirt for being a guest on our program, please.
Thank you. Yes, that will be fantastic. And I will do that as soon as I get to my computer, because right now I'm sitting
in my car. Yeah, okay. Well, I didn't want to, you know, I typically forget. All right. Tell us about the mechanism of the newspaper. How does this thing work? Because I read your website, and I'm not certain exactly how people get into it. You know, because I like to see. Apparently, this is a business that you're trying to promote outside of your own community, and have this published outside your community with having individual entrepreneurs operating it or something like that. I know I'm way off base, but if you could explain how that works.
Sure. Well, Joe, we started on July 4th of last year, actually, with our first publication, and we've been test marketing a couple different products, not only locally where we're at, but also into some other states and into some other communities. And what we've developed so far, and I believe it will continue to mold and change as our markets change and as our country goes through these changes that we're facing now. But what we have is a couple different options for people. We here produce a national publication that is available, and that, you know, if communities are interested in, they can subscribe to. And the national publication will have content in the content areas, which are viewable on our website, goodamericanpost.com. But there, people can subscribe to this, and we're looking for national advertisers. So these are people that have product available for sale, and they could go basically anywhere in the country and get it. So national organizations, national businesses.
Right, so sort of like Coca-Cola, if you will, right? They can advertise in it.
Okay. But the second component of the paper is that, depending on the size of the community, we can put together and organize either local community coupon sheets or regional or local covers for communities. So say there's someone in Des Moines, Iowa, who's interested and they want to start a newspaper, and they're like us, and they want to educate people about liberty, the Constitution, and free markets. What we can do is work with them as a small business owner or as an independent contractor to develop something for their community. We'll take on all of the expense of the overhead, so we'll be able to do the graphic design work. All that our local communities would have to do is sell advertising and provide us local content. We're able to get the national advertising and national content where we're at, but wherever our local communities are, if they want to start a Good American Post, you know, coupon sheet or a Good American Post cover, we can help. You know, they would have that. They would have their responsibilities. We would have ours. We would put those two pieces together, and they would have their own publication that they can then distribute.
Okay.
And so, depending on the size, you know, the circulation would change. And that's kind of the model in a nutshell. If we found people who were interested in investing and actually, you know, purchasing territories and being able to provide a Good American Post to a larger entity like a state, that's something we've also talked to a couple people about and they're, you know, fairly interested in. What we're trying to do, Joe, is not just have a newspaper, but actually develop a model that will create economic development. So what I've been working with here in Southern Colorado are people and contributors like on the student end. So kids in high school or colleges, they're actually some of our contributing writers. They're actually some of our interns that do our graphic design. What we're hoping to do is, if the paper grows and we gain advertisers and gain subscribers, then these kids and the next generation, the future of our country, will in theory have a place where they can come and work when they're ready to.
Okay, very good.
So we have, you know, yeah.
What percent of the paper content is local news versus the sort of the international news or the general news?
How the model is set up, it would probably be about 25% local and 75% national, unless the local territory would like to take on more responsibility. So if they want to sell more local advertising, then we would be able to have more of the paper with local content.
Okay.
Well, now, as you probably know.
Would it be only advertising that would be included in the paper, or would it also be articles about of local interest?
Both.
Okay.
And kind of how it and that's kind of where the percentages would vary, is depending on the size of the community and how much our individual independent contractors or business owners would want to work. That's up to them. We would be able to fill in the rest. So,
okay.
Say we found somebody in a smaller community, and all they want to do is a coupon sheet, like front and back, 11
right.
by 17. They want to sell coupons in it. That's fine. We can work with them, and then they can either do just the coupon sheets, or if the advertising warrants it, and we're able to, of course, cover our costs, and then we could distribute the national publications and have that as an insert. But what we're trying to do is hit the price points for various people and trying to get people out of work back into work. And,
right.
I mean, I do sales every day. That's what I do for our publication. And what we're trying to do is get people, no matter what size or how much they can commit, if they're interested in liberty and free markets and developing some type of media mechanism for their community, we can help them do that.
Well, you're doing it all wrong. You're doing it all wrong. I'm sorry to inform you. You're doing that. All you need to do is sign up for part of the stimulus program, and you would bypass all of this. But I hate to break it to you.
They wouldn't take me. I'm already on their watch list.
Oh well, you and me. Okay. Now, the person in the local community, basically, what they are doing is they are selling advertising for a local newspaper. In that case, right, or a paper of local interest. Am I correct?
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, you're correct.
How do people in that local area subscribe to the newspaper, or is it that community get, you send them 1,000, 5,000 copies, and then they take it and they distribute it, sort of like some of these, like we have the Urban Tulsan here in Tulsa, which is a free newspaper, but it's the best newspaper here. It trumps the Tulsa World and all of them.
Sure.
And it really is very, very popular. It's a free newspaper, and you find it everywhere. Of course, it's free, but they exist because of the advertising fees they get, and they charge a pretty hefty fee because they're very popular. Is that the type of mechanism it is also?
Exactly. It's a free publication, and if the advertising, really solely off of people advertising. We do have a subscriber base, but it's very small, and it's not really what's supporting the paper.
Right.
If people want to subscribe, as you probably know, we're covering our costs of getting them that publication. It's still
right.
a free publication. We're just covering the cost of actually mailing it to their door.
Right.
But yes. But it's a free publication, and so depending on the size of the community, the amount of advertising that the local business person has sold, as well as the amount of local content we have, we would ship out a number, and then the local publisher, wherever we're sending it to, would be responsible for distributing that publication.
Right, for distribution. Obviously,
and really the goal of...
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I stepped over your words. I apologize. Please continue.
No. I was just going to finish it that we like the local publisher to distribute the publication, because that's kind of finalizing that circle of the value chain, where this is the person that has sold the advertising, that has gotten the content. Now they are out delivering this publication to the people that have subscribed to it, or to the people to their community members. And that's what this is about, is connecting all of those pieces,
right.
all while we're making money in our free market. So that's just kind of the
right.
end of the value chain in our model, is having the person who's actually developing the paper go out and distribute it. And that's a little bit different twist than a lot of publications who just hire a distribution company, which,
that's
you
right.
know, if we had a huge market, we'd have to.
Well,
but in smaller communities, it's possible.
But this model seems to be more sound, because the person who is distributing the newspapers would be interested in making certain that they go to the right places, that they are read,
exactly.
so that the advertisers businesses are enhanced for advertising in that newspaper, so they will continue to advertise. Now, if they took all the newspapers and they just threw them down the sewer and they go, well, I didn't have to do any work this week, Charlie, let's have another beer. Obviously, the people say, well, I don't see your newspaper anywhere. They stop advertising, and that supply chain just ends abruptly right there, right? So there's incentive there. Now, I have to go on record as saying that, you know, people who eat healthfully, I guess is the word, you know, are considered nutty. You know, well, you know, if you eat something healthy, you're a nut. And I can never understand that. Yep. The other night, I went to, in fact, it was a meeting about liberty, and of all things, and I went to a library, a guy was holding a meeting, he said, would you come? I said, sure, I'll come there. And, you know, they always want to give me some time and airtime, you know, at the place and promote my show and whatever. And I tried to tell them, don't worry about it. And I go there, and then a few of them afterwards decided to get a bite to eat. Well, they picked about the worst restaurant that you could imagine in Tulsa to eat. I don't know why they did. Everyone, absolutely everyone, had a cheeseburger, a greasy cheeseburger on a white bun. You know, of course, they had this little sliver of lettuce on it, a bowl of French fries, and then some sort of drink like a Coke. And I looked at that, and I said, You know, I used to eat that stuff, you know, and I drank two glasses of water. And I think everyone was angry at me that I drank water. You know why? Because they should have drunk the water, and they knew that, and I didn't bother and say anything to anybody, but they knew they weren't happy that they finished off every morsel on their plate. And I went home and I said, you know, just think of the difference in what we both consumed that time. I just drank a couple of glasses of water, and they had probably 2,400 calories at least of just garbage. In the interest of full disclosure, I want to tell you and announce the fact what I had for lunch today. You will not believe what I had for lunch today. Seaweed.
What?
I had seaweed. I did. I ate seaweed. I heard seaweed is wonderful for you. Maybe you can help me out because I'm not a very astute when it comes to, you know, I know what's good and bad, basically. But I hear seaweed comes from the ocean. It has all the minerals. It has a lot more than the green stuff that we grow on land, and that it has everything. So I went down to my local sushi parlor. I said, you sell seaweed? They said, yes. I said, I want seaweed. They said, how? I said, just put it on a plate. They said, what do you want? I said, give me seaweed on a plate. You know, and they did. They sent me a whole glob of seaweed. And it wasn't that expensive. You know, in fact, it was kind of cheap. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thoroughly enjoyed it, and I said, that's what I had for lunch, and we're all nuts, you know, but what are you going to do? That's the way things go. By the way, folks, this is Liberty Talk Radio. Your host tonight today is me, Joe Cristiano. We have as our guest Tisha Cassida. Cassida, right? Am I saying that correctly? Cassida?
You got it.
Okay,
yep.
I did it
You're
right.
You're doing good.
Cassida. She's the editor and publisher of the Good American Post, a nonpartisan paper intended to educate the reader and win over people to the tenets of liberty, free markets, and true sustainability. And we're having a ball. We'd love for you to join our conversation, 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. Now, I know you're out there. Don't let me come out there and get you. Don't let me come out there. 646-652-4620. Of course, you can send us your comments to us anytime to comments@libertytalkradio.com. Now, Tisha, is it Tisha? They ever call you Tish or Tisha?
Oh, yeah. You can. Tish is just fine. Absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to forget and call you Tish because I know a girl named Tish. I don't know a Tisha, and I'm going to revert back to it. I'll try to be good about that. But, you know.
That either's good.
in your research, what conclusion did you come to that this actually could work? That it would be successful, and that it would in fact promote the tenets of liberty. In your research, how did you come about that?
Sure, a lot of it has to do with what you had just talked about, with the fact that we have a little bit different model, and we're very targeted. We are not your average newspaper printing thousands and thousands and thousands of copies in a community. Just throwing it out there. We're very targeted with our advertisers. We're targeted with our content. We're targeted with our distribution. That's actually the model of my past publication, as well as another publication with another publisher that I work with. And so both of us are very familiar with the targeted aspect of any type of media. And we are just applying that same concept to a publication dedicated to, as you know, two of the most important things for our communities and economies at this time in our country's history. We've gotten wonderful feedback from both our readership and our advertisers. These are people who love the United States of America, who believe in the Constitution as it is written right now, and who know that free markets are really the only way to thrive and the only way to be sustainable. I work with a lot of environmentalists, and I work with a lot of people that love the planet. And my thing is I'm called a capitalist greenie. You just have to make money. You have to make money at it. I know that for the farmers and producers that I work with. You know, they want to be great stewards of the land, and they know that that's more beneficial and better for everybody. But at the same time, transitioning, say, from, you know, conventional to natural or organic farming is a very labor-intensive, expensive process.
Right.
And these farmers and producers are just trying to make a living.
Right.
And so you have lots of variables to balance there.
Right.
And people, our readership and everyone needs to be more aware of all of these variables and how we as consumers affect that.
Well, you know, environmentalists are typically characterized or stereotyped as anti-business people, anti-free market, anti-capitalist,
right,
if you will. How do you reconcile all that? It's got me thinking, we're talking about two different people here, you know, or groups of people. Could you help me? Can you clarify that?
Absolutely. I have always classified the market at large into three different groups of people. You have the people like us and probably your listenership that are fairly well educated, that are willing to listen to both sides of a debate, and that are focused on actionable solutions to problems.
Right.
People that will listen is the biggest thing. That's great. That's a pretty, sometimes it feels like a very small part of the market.
Right.
You have people on the other end that don't listen or don't care. They're never going to read or support something. They're never going to listen. They're never going to care. They're just concerned with their own agenda or their own short-term happiness.
Now, let me see if I can identify with that. You know, my wife says that there's a brown spot on the lawn in the backyard. I really don't care and I do nothing about it, right? That's the person we're talking about, right?
Correct. In that particular instance, yes.
Because she's bugging me every day.
That's a very targeted example.
If you would please call her and say, it's not that important, dear. Your husband is really doing, is campaigning something that is much more important to this planet than the 2x4 brown spot. Get off his back. Would you call my wife and tell her that, please? I would appreciate it.
Well, I'll give it my best, Joe.
Okay, I appreciate that. Well, go ahead,
she
I'm
might
sorry.
Want to come and beat me up after.
No, she's a real sweetheart. I'm just giving you a hard time. Go ahead. And I interrupted you again. I apologize. Go ahead.
What's that?
I said, I apologize. I interrupted you again. I shouldn't do that.
Oh, no, that's okay. It's a great example. I work with people, for my example of people like that, it's I've eaten natural and organic for about 10 years now. And so I'm like, I mean, I do what you do. I go to restaurants and I'll eat like very strange key items that I know are clean and know won't affect me in a bad way. And I get made fun of all the time. And I try and educate people. I say, well, you should really know where your meat comes from. The antibiotics are terrible for you. The steroids are also very bad. Not to mention the fact that, what is it, mad cow disease that happened a couple of years ago, that's real, and it could happen again. It takes, you know, 7 to 10 years for, it's also known as Creutzfeldt-Jakob, it takes that long for you to notice the effects of it, you know, and I say, you know, I want to live a long, healthy, happy life, and so there's some people, though, that I could tell them again and again how dangerous some of the stuff is that we eat, and they'll never listen. They don't care, I stopped trying to talk to those people.
Well, you know, let me tell you how old I am, okay? And I am so old, it is incredible, but I still have a 15 15-year-old mind, I ride my G650 motorcycle and I race down to Starbucks for my coffee in the morning with my knapsack on my back. I don't have to do that. I've made plenty of money and I can do whatever I want, but I'm still a kid. I just do kid stuff. I like to play the drums. I like rock, you know. And my sons, who are in their 40s, say, "Dad, when are you going to grow up?" I don't know yet. You'll be the first to know, I tell them. But, you know, what's interesting, I'm 67 years old. You know, this is horrible. I can't believe I'm 67 because it's like I'm really 30 or something. And so many of my friends are either dead, have severe heart disease, or have cancer. Now, the ones that are dead, I can't do anything about. They're gone. The other group, and let me tell you, most of them are this way. I mean, they are really ill, and they are exactly my age by a couple of months either way. When you speak to them about what they are consuming, because most of my friends are big meat eaters. I mean, it's barbecue time. It's, you know, hamburgers. It's, you know, stuff like that. It's barbecue. That's what they eat. If you speak to them, even those, especially those that have multiple cancers, speak to them about, you know, I don't speak to them. I give them a book like The China Study and stuff like that. I just give them, you read that. Maybe it'll help you out. I'll give you some ideas. I mean, it is not meant, you know, very enthusiastically. In fact, it's you always regret doing it after you do it. And I cannot get it out of my mind why people think that way. I mean, even after they get sick, it's not what they're eating. It is something else. And the chemotherapy and the radiation, that's the good stuff, you know. Eating raw foods, organic foods, and seaweed, you know, is nut stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But radiation is okay. And I can't make that gap. I can't go there. And so I have friends that I see on a weekly basis that I know are down for the 8 count, you know. And we go out and we do things, and the last thing we talk about is nutrition. It's never a subject of conversation, which you think would be the only subject of conversation. Anyway, but go ahead.
Well, sure. Everything goes back to that. Everything goes back to your health. Your body and mind are interconnected, and no matter what people say, there's science to back that your body is built out of what you eat.
That's right.
That includes your brain.
That's right.
And your heart.
That's right.
Everything is what you consume. It's our fuel. We're just like cars. And if you put in crap fuel, you're going to get the same type of output. And that's a big frustration with me and our little kids all across the country. You want to know why we're having so many emotional problems, like ADHD, or so many obesity problems? Come on, it's not rocket science. It's what we feed them.
That's right.
The public school system's food supply is ridiculously poor, and this is the future of our country.
Yeah,
it's a system.
You're right. It's a system. It permeates everywhere. I used to be a facilities manager for a major oil company. The physical facility was basically mine. I ran it. I had a multi-million-dollar budget, the whole bit, and every year the nurse, you know, of the location, we had an on-site nurse, would put on a health fair day.
Mm-hmm.
Day. And they would have the clinics come in, and they would have, you know, all sorts of people come in and give presentations and talk about it. And I thought that was wonderful. But the one thing that I could never understand was that the food that they served was free. But what was it? Hamburgers, hot dogs, French fries. And I used to go to, I say, "What are you doing?" Now, she didn't report to me because, you know, I wasn't in charge of employee relations. I said, "What are you doing?" I said, you know, they go to a meeting saying, you know, reduce the amount of saturated fats and enjoy your hamburger. I said, how do you reconcile that? And they can never give me an answer to that. And every place I go, and I have an industrial health testing company, which I retired from also, but I used to go there all the time. And we used to get invited, because we're industrial health, we used to get invited to all these companies all over the region, you know, to just represent. And we used to go because we felt obligated to, they were pain in the neck, and used to have a booth just to be there and talk about hearing and respiratory stuff and whatever. And everyone was the same. They all served the exact same thing. Hamburgers, hot dogs, French fries, tater tots, Coke, you know, and the best thing they had was Coca-Cola. And yet they were promoting health. And I could never understand that, and I've been on that tirade now for years.
Sure. Yep. Yeah, I know.
So exactly. This makes your job so much more
frustrated.
Difficult.
I mean, the
you know, when the nurse who's promoting good health is saying, here's a free hot dog, you know, and then you come along, you know, you've got to come across like you're a nut, you know, like you're an alien, you know, where do you come from? And I really think it makes everyone's life very, very, very difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. It's marketing. I mean, I am a marketing major, and I believe that I know what's going on, and it's so unfortunate how disconnected we are from our food supply, how disconnected the systems are where, you know, you have these entities set up. I'll give you an example. Our public city-county health department in Pueblo, you know, they're, in theory, these organizations, these governmental organizations, are set up to protect and help people be healthy. But at the end of the day, they're mitigating disease and sickness. That's the exact opposite of what you want to do. You want to promote health and wellness, which means preventing things from happening, you know, preventing cancer, preventing sickness, and it all goes back to what we eat.
Right.
If we ate better, you know, if we ate better, and like I said, it's not rocket science. It's very simple. You would see healthier human beings. And yeah, it's going to take a couple of years to come into effect. It's not a pill, and it's not, you know, something you can just inject in you. It's a system. But but we're so disconnected from that. And like, you know, on a federal level, on a state level, on a city level, especially with, you know, government programs, they're there to supposedly help people. But all we're doing, in my opinion, is ignoring the root cause of so many of our problems.
Right. Why do you think that's the case? I mean, people, everyone knows. Everyone knows what they're eating is bad for them. I mean, there's not a person who walks into McDonald's and says, no, I'm coming here for my nutrition. I ran out of vitamin pills, so I decided to come. No one, everyone in the world knows how bad it is. But yet, and they can read your magazine, your newsletter, your newspaper, and then still walk in McDonald's and get a dollar Happy Meal or whatever they call it these days. Why is that?
Mm-hmm. It's a social problem.
I don't know.
That's
the meaning of life question.
That might be a philosophical question.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, tell me the meaning of life.
I can't understand that,
you know. I have friends that I have suggested to do things who have cancer, and they're eating stuff that is feeding the cancer. I say, look, I'm not your doctor. Why don't you try this? They won't even try it. I mean, they won't even try it. You know, I go, and I just, you know, and then they say, well, my adrenaline gland cancer went away, but now it went out to my lungs. I go, it's bouncing around. I mean, doesn't it tell you something? But I get frustrated, and I really feel badly because I don't have cancer. If the doctor told me I had cancer, I'd jump off a bridge because I'm not mentally that stable to handle something like that. So I better never, ever get it because I can't handle it. But anyway.
If you're eating good, you'll be fine.
thank you. Now, you are located in Colorado, right?
I am. I'm physically located in Southern Colorado.
Southern Colorado. Okay. My son is in Denver. He's an engineer in Denver. We were there recently and visiting him. And it's a beautiful town, incredibly expensive, but a nice town. How is the paper doing in your area?
It's done very well. Our biggest problem as a small business is that we're growing faster than our cash flows are allowing us at the moment. So we've experienced a large amount of growth, and people, like, eat up our papers. They just love them. And right now we're just trying to be able to get to the point where we're able to satisfy the demand that we're getting for the product that we're offering.
Well, how do you know people? How do you know people like your paper? I mean, how do you know that?
Well, we get lots of comments from our readers, and they'll send those in mostly via email. We have, all of our contact information in the publication. But we get phone calls, and we also, of course, talk to our readership as well as our advertisers. Like I said, we're very close to the people that we're distributing these to and the people who are putting content or advertising in them. We talk to them. We talk to them, you know, and get feedback from them. We want to know what people really think. That's, again, what it differentiates us from a standard paper. When they go out for advertisers, they're looking for a set amount of money, and they're going to get that in the bank, and they don't really care what happens to the business. What we're trying to do is really create and connect communities and economies. We want to see something sustainable. We want to see these small businesses thrive.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's a lot of in-person research that we've done over the past year.
All right. Now, have you received any feedback from the merchants in whether or not it is commercially viable for them to advertise in your paper?
So far, yes, we have. We just have to get a lot more. We have to just keep growing to be able to see. We'd like to get a lot more papers out. We've been, in the range of between 20,000 and 30,000 per issue.
Right.
What we'd like to do in our particular community is get to that, 50, 80,000 range.
Okay.
And the people that we've had in so far have been happy. Now we'd like to get a whole lot more.
Is it all yours, or have you sort of franchised to other entrepreneurs yet?
Right now it is solely in what I've done, what I've built.
Okay.
But we have interested parties in about, 5 to 7 states that we're talking to, and if they get to the point of wanting to make it a commercially viable product in their community, then we have, like I've talked about earlier, a couple different models. And depending on what that would look like, then we'd franchise out.
Right.
Or expand our territory, I should say.
Are you experiencing any resistance in placing the newspapers in a particular establishment? Has that been an obstacle for you?
Not yet, although what's very funny is we will get a couple of businesses every once in a while, and they're usually small businesses. We've been pretty good with the some of the medium to large ones, which is great. But as soon as they see the American flag, which is in our Good American Post logo, as soon as they see that, they automatically feel like it's a very right-leaning paper, which is, and I hate using terms right-left, liberal, conservative, because
me
I
too.
Think we're all Americans and we shouldn't be shoving people into groups, but
that's
just me. But what's frustrating is that flag is our flag, and it doesn't matter what side of the spectrum you're on, that's the American flag.
Right, I know, and that's a common prejudice, I agree.
Yeah, so there's just been a little bit of resistance from that. What we've tried to do, though, in those instances is, get in there and talk to the owner and have them open up the publication. And what happens, as soon as they open it up, they see that we're obviously nonpartisan. But beyond that, we're all over the place with our content. We talk a lot about small businesses with, like, the Prosper section. We're talking about the Constitution with the Think Live section. But in addition to that, we have our resources section that's talking about sustainability with energy, land, air, and water. We have our arts, culture, and travel. So these are sections and content that, of course, appeal to people all over the spectrum because we all enjoy those type of things. So as soon as people open the paper, we can overcome some of that resistance. But so far, praise God, and this has to do again with our growth. Is people enjoy reading about positive news and things they can do to make a difference that aren't necessarily slamming anybody or anyone.
And that is a problem. Yeah, because right now we had a plethora of negative news and everyone's slamming each other because no one wants to be at fault, you know. And so it's... I hate watching. I don't watch the news anymore because and when I do, like an idiot, I turn it on. After about 3 minutes, I go, that's not true. No, that's wrong. I go, why am I watching? My blood pressure just goes up and then I turn it off. And that's the end of that. Really, it's horrible. But, you know, I have to make a comment. If I can interrupt, you know, this left-right paradigm thing just blows my mind. Do you realize that in a sense that if you take the issues on the left, I agree with about half of them, about half, maybe 50, 60%. If you take the issues on the far right, I agree with the 50 to 60% of those, you know? So what I've done is I've taken the ones on the left, I've taken the ones on the right, and I've put them together, and I say, well, this is what I believe in. And both sides say I'm nuts. Think about that.
I know.
Isn't that interesting? I've taken half of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, but if you ask a person on the left, do they subscribe to all of the actions and the issues that the left subscribe to? They'll say, oh, no, most of them, but not all of them. And then if you do the same thing right, they go, oh, no, I disagree with a lot of them, but I agree with these. Well, I say, you're the same as me. Right. They say, but so I said, I just took the best from both and put them together, but now I'm a nut. It is really interesting. They cannot define themselves. The left cannot define themselves, and the right can't. And when people ask me, because I tell them I'm a libertarian, they have no idea what I'm talking about. I might as well tell them I'm a bokenist. I made that up, you know. I tell them, look, I'm left of left, and I'm right of right, period. You know, you figure it out, and the conversation ends, and I can go on just daydreaming, you know, that I'm still 15 years old. But anyway, but I digress, as I say. But I digress. By the way, we only have 2 more minutes. I'd like to give this hour flew by, Tisha. It absolutely flew by.
It did.
Well, I hope you enjoyed yourself this afternoon.
Absolutely. You know, okay. I want to thank you, Joe. It's great to be able to talk to people of like mind and share information about what we're doing. That's really what it's all about. So thank you so much for the opportunity.
please, my pleasure is all mine. We have about a minute. I'd like to give that minute and a half to you so that you can direct our audience to websites, to whatever you want. I'll leave it up to you. Go ahead. Why don't you go now?
Okay. All right. Well, again, the name of our company and product is The Good American Post. You can find information online at goodamericanpost.com or goodamericanpost.info. You can also, the .info site is actually our national blog, and you can link to state blogs from that site.
Great.
If anyone is interested as an advertiser, as someone who would like to contribute content or possibly write for us, or if you're interested in having a Good American Post product in your community, we'd love to hear from you and love to talk to you. And you can reach us at either 719-369-0623 or 515-707-1490. But again, we're the Good American Post, Free Markets, New Media. And we'd love to talk to anyone who's interested in supporting what we support, which is liberty, the Constitution, and our free market economy.
Very good. Tisha, let me go on record by saying you are absolutely wonderful. And it is a pleasure having someone like you on the program. You have made my day. I want to thank you so much. And I want to thank you so much for what you are doing. And I wish you all the luck in the world.
Thank you.
Do not forget that email with your T-shirt size, okay? And I'll get one out to you.
Awesome. I will do that. It's at my computer. I could use new clothes. That's fantastic.
Okay. That's great. Okay, Tish. Thank you so much and good afternoon. Bye-bye now.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. All right. Bye.
Wow, she was a terrific guest. That's the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Grant Shaker's Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle, something I love to do. You feel free, liberated, your life is in your own hands, but with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. The government is like training wheels. They control the ride and your every move. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk that says, "Don't steal, the government hates competition." With that, until next time, I'm Joe Crispiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well, stay tuned.